you will, take your Bibles for me. Hold them high. I want you to repeat after me. I want you to say, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. And I boldly confess, my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, just the first book after the four Gospels, Acts, Romans, the book of Acts, chapter 11. And I want to thank Pastor Vince for ministering. I've heard you on the recordings, and it's not the same. I mean, it was good. I really enjoyed it. But man, I just really enjoyed your ministry this morning. Thank you and Miss Rose for all that you do and your faithfulness and mercy. We're so blessed. Acts chapter 11. Again, good morning and happy Mother's Day, ladies. The title of my message today is Mother's Day 2025. Original, right? Mother's Day 2025. And then I ask a question. Do we get to choose our mamas? Do we get to choose our mamas? Well, I hope that I'll be able to answer that for you this morning. And I want you to know, if you can get a Mother's Day message out of Acts 11, I'm going to give you a gold star, because that's a tough place to find anything about mothers. But I think that by the end of the service, you'll be blessed by it. Earlier this week, when Pastor D and Russ arrived back from the memorial services there in Illinois for her sister and brother-in-law, I said to her, you know, I don't have the liberty to just venture into a Mother's Day sermon this year, because I feel like the anointing is on what God is speaking to us. And I said, no, you know, this particular week, which would have been last week, we really had to trudge through some, you know, we're laying some foundation that's very important about the church. But I feel like that's what the Lord is saying to us. He's wanting us to come into our identity, who we are, so that when we realize and recognize that, and brother, you can turn those lights on anytime if you'd like. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Once we come into our identity of who we are, and then we understand the authority whereby we've been called to move as the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. Think about the body of Christ moving in this earth today. We'll never do it unless we understand first who we are and the authority that we've been given, why it's ours, and then that comes with a great responsibility. So as you seek to know the will of God, once you receive the will of God, then we do it. So we say it like this, you know, come thy kingdom and be done thy will. Well, you can't do that unless you know the will of God. So this morning, so she said, well, I have a unique message. It's so good. I can't wait to get there Sunday and minister my message. But she said, mine's not really about mothers either. She said, it is keep continuing where the Lord has us. I said, I think that's where we should. It's important right now that we, you know, we don't miss. If we can help it, we don't miss. We just keep following along, because God's giving us, he's speaking to us what he wants us to hear. So I want to read to you out of Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, and I want to go all the way through 18. And I want us to read. I'm reading the New King James Version of the Bible this morning, but I want to read the text and then we'll preach the message. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision, that means the Jews, contended with him, saying, you went into uncircumcised men and ate with them. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, but those are Gentiles. Verse 4. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. Verse 6. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. Verse 7. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Verse 8. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, and I want you to pay attention to this, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And I'm going to read that from a couple of different versions this morning so you'll fully understand that. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. God was wanting to open the eyes. He was wanting to open the eyes of understanding, not just for Peter, but for all those that Peter worked with, and he wanted to do something different. And I'm telling you, God was at work in the early days of the church there in the beginning of Acts. And I believe that Acts is still being written, of course, not literally, but I believe that we should be living our lives in such a way that the book of Acts, the exploits of the church, is still being written here in this world today. Can you say amen? So I want you to get this. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. That's a paradigm shift. Verse 10. Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. Verse 11. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Now, I think this is very important. We're talking about the church, and we're also talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, Peter says, told me to go with them, doubting nothing. God was about to enlarge the place in Peter's life. He was about to lengthen the stakes, enlarge the tent. He was going to present a new paradigm of thinking, and Peter had to be willing to step into this, and it was just really incredible. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. Verse 13. And he told us how he had seen an angel in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, our God has always been at work. But I'm telling you, since the book of Acts, we've never seen anything like what he's doing. And he's still at work today because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Can you say amen? As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall baptize with the Holy Ghost, or with the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a really powerful scripture, and you're going to understand a little bit more, you mamas. Hang with me. Here's something to help you understand. If I were to say this, you can pick your friends, but who can finish it? You can pick your friends, but you've never heard that? No one's ever heard that adage? Well, let me finish it. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your relatives. Something we certainly know on Mother's Day. I mean, you didn't choose your mama, right? Most assuredly, that unsought relationship has likely been incredibly influential in who and what you are today. From the earliest years of our founding as a nation, you can find a most intriguing history of the women who were influential in the establishment of our nation. John Adams, our second president, is quoted from a letter to his daughter, Nabby. He says, quote, "It is by the female world that the greatest and best characters among men are formed. I have long been of this opinion that when I hear of an extraordinary man, good or bad, I naturally inquire who his mother was," end quote. Powerful. That's John Adams. George Washington is quoted as saying, quote, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother." This is George Washington. "I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education that I received from her," end quote. We wish that all mothers were as good as George Washington's, but we all know that is not the case. And that explains why everyone is not the same mind about Mother's Day. For some, it is a wonderful day of celebration. For others, those whose family portrait could never be mistaken for that great painter, Norman Rockwell, your family would never be mistaken for one of his paintings. Well, for those people, this is a day just as well ignored. But as we say, you can pick your friends, but, well, you know the rest. In a not so subtle way, that is also the message from our scripture lesson today. See, as the passage opens, we read, "Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." Everybody say this. Say, uh-oh. I think there's trouble stirring. This is going to mean some trouble for some people. Despite the fact that Jesus himself had dealings with Gentiles, the early church was of the mindset to keep Christianity essentially Jewish. Now think about that. Think about how the early church started, but think about how God grafted all of us in. There's a vine, there's a covenant, but God has grafted us in. That's why we say Abraham is our spiritual father. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. This report of Peter's ministry in Joppa was to say at the very least, it was troubling. And as the text has it out of the New Living Translation, I'll read it. Don't just listen to me. New Living Translation, verse 2. "But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem," you see, God moved in Joppa. Then Peter goes back to Jerusalem. And he's making his report. "The Jewish believers, they criticized him and they said, 'You entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them.'" What they were saying is, "How dare you, Peter?" Right? How dare you? How dare you do such a thing? And then Peter tells this curious story. He was having a rooftop prayer time when he saw a vision, something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and on it was a veritable zoo, four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, the birds of the air. I've thought about this so often, and I think it was like a big movie screen that came down from heaven, and everything was projected on it, and he saw all of these things. And then a voice from heaven says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." And then Peter says, "No, Lord, I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean," which means he was faithful to the teachings that he had received about the faith. But in Pastor Head's paraphrased version, I would say it like this: "No way, Lord, no way." When the Lord says, this to Peter. He says, no way. Not this, for these are not pure, they're unclean. And you know me, Lord, I'm a good Jew. And then I think he had one more thing to say. Is this a test? Have you ever thought the Lord was just testing you? You know, the Lord does test us. He tests us to prove our faith. I think, you know, remember the old aluminum foil? I think maybe it was, Teresa calls it tin foil. And I've said, baby, it's not tinfoil. And then, you know, the longer I live, the more I hear Southern cooks always talking about getting tinfoil. But I think Reynolds Wrap, you know, they'd snap that thing and say it's tempered. And that's what God is doing. When he tests us, he's strengthening our faith. That's what he's doing. But in verse 9 out of the New Living, it says, but the voice from heaven spoke again and says, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. I want you to understand that no matter what we realize in life now, God is moving. How many want to be moving forward with him? We've got to keep moving forward in him. He's going to take us into new places in him. So we're moving forward in him. And that's what God was saying here. Look, I'm going to do something new. It's so much bigger than what you boys ever thought it would be. And don't call something unclean if God has called it clean. That was something that God was doing. So three times this happens, Peter says. Why three times? Because it's important. That's why. There might be something more to it that God does it. He tells them three times. Three visitors show up. And then evidently he's with three men because six of them go to the Gentiles' home. We're going to talk about who that is just right now. Then the rooftop dream is interpreted by what follows. Three visitors have arrived, Gentiles as it turns out. They've come with an invitation to visit a Roman centurion, and his name is Cornelius. Curious, isn't it? The same rank as the one who supervised the crucifixion of Jesus. It makes you wonder if it's the same man. Peter felt led of the Spirit to go with them, and shortly thereafter, he was doing something that no good Jew in his day would normally do. He actually went into the home of a Gentile. Peter shares with us three things. Number one, the conversation inside that house. Number two, the vision that Cornelius had that prompted the invitation. And number three, the sharing of the gospel and their positive response. It's glorious, actually. Finally, of the New Living Translation, verse 15, Peter says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them. That's incredible. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit began to fall on them. Y'all, I think that's what has been happening with us of late. I think that the Holy Spirit's been moving, and I think as we've been speaking, I think the Holy Spirit's been moving on you. And I get these reports, and we're going to end the service day with something just so beautiful. But I think the Holy Spirit's falling on us. Same thing. But the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he fell on us in the beginning. And then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? That's a very good question to ask. Peter says, who was I to stand in God's way? This isn't anything like what we ever thought could happen. In fact, we didn't believe anything like this could happen. But see, God was changing Peter. God was expanding Peter. God was strengthening and stretching Peter. Thank God for his willingness. Can you say amen? To their credit, those early church leaders responded to Peter's story in a remarkably wise manner. They didn't have to do that. As the lesson had it, verse 18 of the New Living Translation says, when the others heard this, they stopped objecting. They stopped objecting, and they began praising God. So immediately this went against their grain, but they stopped objecting, and they began praising God. For they recognized that what was happening was something God was still doing. He was changing them because he was changing this world. Can you say amen? They said, we can see that God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of repenting of their sins and receiving eternal life. One big, happy family. It's amazing. Turn to someone and say, it's amazing. It's amazing how God works. One big happy family. Now, I don't think that we're always like one big happy family, but I think God is bringing us into a place of unity. And I think that God is about to move. I think he's already moving, but I think he's about to move upon countless others. And there's going to be great revival to come from that. No Orthodox Jew, by the way, would touch any of the things that Peter saw, in that whether it was on a movie screen or where it was actually like a sheet from heaven and he sees all this on top. But this is why the message in Acts 11 is such radical news. In fact, it's radical good news. It says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. When we think about Mother's Day, a lot of people will say, I wish I was born in any other family except the one I was born in. But that is to presuppose that God is not capable or able or willing to move in your family. But he is. Can you say amen? Anyway, the struggle continues today in the church. It's, you know, not the same form, of course, but there's still tension in the church as God continues to move us. I think that there will be many people that will hear about a move up under these trees, down this dirt road, a little place called Westbrook, people meeting in the sheep shed. When they hear about things, they'll immediately say, that's not of God. There's something wrong with that. We always have a tendency to do that, and I expect that to happen at some point. But Christians are terribly distressed at some of the changes they've witnessed recently, and they long to return to a more stable, predictable time where everything seems more safe. Like, we know what things were like. We used to come to church and we used to worship a certain way, and we'd hear, and we could get out by 11:30 every single day. A more predictable time. They would be more happy to take some of those Old Testament laws and make them, you know, make rules for our world today. Make, you know, enforcing our conduct today. Thank God the gospel is more than a set of rules. Wouldn't you say? Thank God it's relational. Can you say amen? Others are thrilled at the new freedoms they enjoy, and they're willing to learn and even accept the occasional uncomfortable lessons like Peter and his friends. That was an uncomfortable lesson for Peter. That's why I really think he might have said, is this a test? How many have ever felt you're in a test and you know, you say, is there anybody else up there? This can't be you, God. Is there anybody else? This has to be the devil. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. The result, of course, is that disagreements are bound to arise. And that's why the church struggles over hot button issues. But we remember that even in the midst of disagreements, we're still family. And that old truism continues to hold. You can pick your friends, but... And I would say we're all in this together. We're all in this together. The guidance that Peter received is very helpful for us today. So also is the direction that we get from the example of Jesus, a ministry that was willing to break established purity laws in order to care for the outcast of society. He healed on the Sabbath. He put the needs of children before the needs of adults. And he preferred the company of sinners over the saints. It was a glorious new and better way. Can you say amen? I would tell you this morning that as a pastor on this Mother's Day, to see what God is doing in our little assembly is so exciting. I'm so thrilled to have Pastor Vince and Miss Rose join us, and such able gifts and able to share those gifts, willing to share those gifts, and such a blessing. But I realize that God is at work in all of us, in each of us. I received this text, I believe it was on Friday morning, and the person will remain anonymous, as I promised that, but I received a text that said, "Good morning. This is a long message, but today I feel like God spoke to me." Now, we ought to stop and say, praise God for that. Today, I feel like God spoke to me. You can hear 100 people say, God spoke to me, God spoke to me, God did this, God did that. But until God speaks to you, this is a long message, but today I feel like God spoke to me. Today, me and my sister are going to visit my mom for her birthday and Mother's Day, and visiting her with her always brings me a lot of anxiety. So this morning, I asked Jesus to help me through it. I realized shortly after that prayer that I have unforgiveness in my heart because of stuff that happened during my childhood. And I started thinking that with Jesus guiding me and by trying to live more like Him, I can find forgiveness in my heart, and that would allow me not to feel so anxious when I visit my mom. These things popped in my head while asking Jesus to help me. Listen to what this person wrote. Understanding humans make mistakes and are not perfect. That's good. That's good. As humans, it's not our place to decide what kind of person someone is just because they hurt us. That's God's job. Very good. The next one. Forgiving doesn't mean you forget, but it means you are capable of giving grace the way Jesus gives us grace. Beautiful. And finally, forgiveness isn't natural because we are humans. Holding grudges is a fleshly trait. Wow. This person goes on. Does truly forgiving my mom mean I won't ever think of my past? Or just when I do think of it, I'm able to give her grace? So my response was this. Hello, what a wonderful message via text. I'm thrilled that you kept writing and sent it to me. Forgiving your mom, or better stated, releasing your mom and the hurt which actually sets you free, is never easy. We indeed need our Heavenly Father to help us with that process. First is through the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus, that while on the cross and in great agony, He asked the Father to forgive those who did this to Him. And I put wow after that. If Jesus can do that, we can too. Second, we've been teaching a lot about the Holy Spirit lately. We need His help to actually be able to release our pain through forgiveness. Again, that process releases someone who has hurt us, but more importantly, it sets us free. Say that with me. Say, it sets us free. Say it like you believe it. It sets us free. Or make it personalize it. It sets me free. Hallelujah. So to answer your question, when we forgive, the past doesn't change or the memories. However, through God's help, the power it held over us is gone. And we realize what it means to be set free from the pain of the past, because it's real. Whenever my past wants to raise its ugly head and force me to remember, I just put it all under the blood of Jesus and begin to praise Him for setting me free of whatever it was. Finally, forgiveness makes us clearly aware of this truth, and this is it. As long as we have unforgiveness, the person who hurt us holds power over us. But when I issue forgiveness and turn the person... As long as we have unforgiveness, the person who hurt us holds power over us. But when I issue forgiveness and turn the person and the situation over to God, I am set free in the process. And as the Bible tells us in John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And also 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there's liberty. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are free. Hallelujah. By the way, could I possibly use this text anonymously in my sermon this Sunday? And then the response was, thank you for this. This clears up forgiveness for me and so much more. It's so painful to let the past have control, and this message will help me move forward. I would love to hear this at church on Sunday, and I pray it will help others as well. I am so thankful for the love and example set by Jesus. And I said, wonderful. I'm so pleased this helps. God is so good to us. Would you say God is so good to us? I said, keep moving forward. We love you so much. So I want to appreciate that very much. And finally, before we have communion, and I pray this morning, Miss Tanya, you want to come up and just share just briefly, or you want me to bring that back to you? You know what? Come up if you don't mind. There you go. Because God is doing so many wonderful things. I just want to set this up. As I see what God is doing, we're preaching the word of God, but see, God is moving in you. And she has a tremendous, we've had a couple of tremendous testimonies. One I can't share with you, but it's big. It's really big, but this is a really big miracle.
It is, and I asked God when I started praying for this. I said, God, I want to be the testimony, and I want to be the light. And that's exactly what he's given me. So almost a month ago, after going to the urgent care, after seeing my primary care and two ER visits, I got to hear the words that nobody wants to hear. You have swollen lymph nodes in your aorta, which is probably a 50-50 shot that you have cancer. And we're going to send you to the oncologist. And I said, okay. So on to the oncologist I went, and she wanted me to have a PET scan and some other testing. And you know, that's really nerve-wracking to go through a PET scan. It doesn't hurt or anything, it's just a mental thing. But I wanted to be the one that went through that scan. And they say, what swollen aorta? And what are you talking about? And I really should be shouting and screaming because I'm that one. So I went through that PET scan and we got the results back. And the PET scan is normal. So now the devil is still trying to wreak havoc on me, but we're getting there. So I just ask for all your prayers as I continue to go through some scans and that they find kind of the culprit of this. But God has been so good to me. When Pastor asked me to share this morning, I really kind of was just, I've been tired a little late. I was like, no, I'll do it next Sunday. But that's not what God, no, you can't wait, because he gave me, his love has run all over me. And when Pastor prayed for me and Miss D prayed for me, you see, I thought Jesus was standing here. I didn't think it, I knew it. So I'm so thankful for all of y'all. I'm so thankful for God, and I'm so thankful for you and Misty and Pastor D. Thank you. And the only other thing I can say is, not only did I get to shout this from the mountaintop, but my job has been in a quandary. And so they told me I would have to be displaced, and I wouldn't. I carry our family's insurance, and I didn't know what I was going to do. This is not official yet, but I know, but I know, but I know. And so it came to me on Friday that the principal of our school told our team leader, tell her not to accept any other offers. So I don't know what that means. I really don't care if I get to stay where I am. That'll be just fine. If I'm slinging paint on the wall, it's okay. I praise him, I thank him, and happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Tanya. Thank you for sharing that. So I think what a wonderful way to end this service today, with the fact that, you know, we don't get to choose our family, our mamas. No, we don't get to choose them. We don't get to choose what we experience in life, but I know one thing. God is always faithful. And I want to thank you. I told Pastor Vince this morning, I said, you know, we preach, and as we preach, you have people who've heard it and heard it and heard it, but then when you get new ones, and they're so hungry, and they're like those little